Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'll be damned.
Now that looks right.
Somebody go find Bob. Well, maybe we should start over.
I think we should. Happy New Year! Because you know what? This looks like it's recording now.
Yep. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Hey, Bakley, we're in this really bad movie, and Spaceship One, and we're here along with...
Super Chicken! Super Chicken!
A New Year's Chicken has arrived! All right!
Whoa! Blay.
Just in time for dinner!
For 6 minutes, I didn't think it was going to work.
Oh, yeah, but now he's Fox Bay was with us for a short time, but he decided now he could hear it, he was going to try and tune in to the broadcast on the net and listen to it that way.
Yeah, my phony thingy still doesn't look right. Well, you know what? We've got, like, no time left at all, an hour and 10 minutes. Let's go ahead and start this over again, part one of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. The Leopard Man, originally broadcast August
24th, 1981.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
On a goat. There he is.
Come in.
Welcome. Lovely.
I'm E.G. Marshall. There are certain authors acknowledged as masters of the time and place they portray. Take Marcel Proust, whose remembrance of the past of upper-class France has never been equaled, or Ernest Hemingway's picture of man against the elements. Such a sovereign writer exists in Rudyard Kipling, whose knowledge of turn-of-the-century India, its magic, its superstitions, and its terror, we are about to bring you today.
Fleet here thinks he was bitten by something in the night. Open your shirt and let Kipling have a look.
Yes. There. Ever seen anything like that before, Kipling?
I don't know. India's full of strange animals and insects. Those marks in the center of your chest, they look like you're growing a leopard skin.
Our mystery drama, The Leopard Man, was adapted from a story by Rudyard Kipling by James Agate Jr. and stars Norman Rose and Bob Caliban. I shall return shortly with Act One.
Tuesday on CBS Television.
I never promised you Rose Gordon.
For the first time on network television, the powerful drama of a young girl caught in a self-made hell.
Betrayal.
Until a caring doctor does all she can.
You can trust me. I won't betray you.
Despite recurring setbacks.
I'm poisoned.
Can she escape back to the real world? Kathleen Quinlan and B.B. Anderson star in I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Tuesday night at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on CBS Television.
Taking a laxative?
Yeah, traveling throws my system off.
But so can a laxative.
Not Metamucil.
That's Metamucil?
Metamucil Instant Mix in little packets.
Oh.
Easy to take along.
And easy on your system. Because Metamucil is made from natural fiber with no chemical stimulants, more doctors recommend Metamucil for really gentle relief.
I like that orange flavor.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Easy to take.
If not nature, Metamucil. Read label and follow directions.
The following is a commercial message. If you've been wanting to take a trip, Delta is ready when you are. For less, Delta has discount fares from Chicago to cities all over the country. New Orleans is just $104 one way on Delta's special tourist fare. And Delta's special tourist fare to Atlanta is only $74 one way. Houston is just $107 each way on Delta's round-trip night coach Supreme Super Saver. And Delta has discount fares that are big savings over regular day tourist fares to over 50 more cities. They're all scheduled to stay in effect till at least mid-September, but lately fares have been changing so quickly that they may never be lower than they are right now. Seats are limited, and at these prices, they'll be going quickly. Call your travel agent or Delta for more information in fares and requirements. If you want to take that trip, Delta is ready when you are, and ready for less.
As our curtain rises, one can hardly make out the dim outlines of the India Club for the thick winter fog that swirls about the building this New Year's Eve. Nor is it easier to see when one enters the club because of the thick haze of tobacco from those British with their pipes and cigars sent to trade with and rule India. In that corner, those three are typical. Kipling, a journalist, Strickland, chief of police, and Fleet, a new arrival. They're playing a game of English billiards.
I've had it. That's it for me. I've had all the red ball I can do with. Tell me, Strickland, is it always so hot in this part of India?
You'll get used to it, Fleet.
Don't know that I shall. Is either of you two mind if I smoke one of my Havanas? I'd offer you one, but they're deuced hard to obtain.
No, thank you. I smoke a pipe.
As I always enjoy a good cigar.
Who'd join me in another brandy?
I don't mind, Kipling. You, Fleet?
Frankly, I don't care much for that rot gut they serve here, which they call brandy. However, I do know what I should like to do. How about a turn outside? Should be less stuffy, don't you think? Besides, I'd like to show you my horse. So now there's an animal. Well, what do you say? Shall we go outside, Mr. Kipling?
Perfectly all right with me. You, Strickland?
Certainly. Tell you what, Fleet. You go on ahead and have one of the boys saddle her up for you, and Kipling and I will settle the bar bill.
Yes, righto. See you out there.
Strickland, this friend of yours, this Fleet, can't say I care for him.
I don't know him. I'm putting him up as a favor to a friend. You're not planning to write about him for your paper, are you?
I thought him extremely rude. Not offering us one of his precious cigars and then calling the club brandy rotgut. That didn't stop him swilling it down all evening.
And champagne and sherry and whiskey.
We're picking up the bar bill. No, I must say, a thoroughly objectionable man.
A bit of a show-off, I admit. I believe he has some land in the Himalayas and horses which he breeds. He rode over here for the holidays with a note from an old friend of mine. Naturally, I said, well, while you're here, come stay with me. He blanched a bit. Thought he'd be staying at the police station. I'll make it up to you, Kipling.
Oh, don't apologize. Who knows? I may get a story yet out of this crass character.
Mr. Strickland, I wondered where you were. Boy, bring her around a bit closer. She's not going to hurt you. Go up, bring her round to the porch. Steps.
Bring your horse up to these steps. Whatever for?
Well, I want to show you something. Hey, boy, what is the matter with you? Closer, I said. Anyway, that'll do. Hold him there. That's... Where's Mr. Kipling? I'd like him to see this, too.
He'll be along.
Well, I'll show you how I used to leap into the saddle. Haven't done it in some time. Would always have my horse brought right round to the house. I'd stand at the top step as I'm doing now. Then, one, two, three,
Fleet, are you hurt? Kipling, come down here and give us a hand. Kipling!
Now, what's going on?
Fleet was demonstrating how he leaps into the saddle. He missed the horse. She balked, kicked him, and has run off somewhere.
Well, what was he trying to do? Fancy himself an American cowboy?
Oh, look, he's passed out.
I shouldn't wonder. It's all that rot gut. But what are we going to do with him? Can't leave him lie here, much as I'd like to.
Well, let's pull him to his feet and walk him to my house.
Got a spare cell for him in your jail?
How far have we walked? I say, what is this place?
Only about halfway to my house, Finch. We'll get there. Don't worry.
Is this some sort of temple we're walking by?
Kipling, you tell him. You're the historian.
Yes, that's the temple to Hanuman, the monkey god.
Well, these native beliefs are all the same, if you ask me. Doesn't really matter whether they're praying to a monkey or a Buddha or a sacred cow. My cigar's gone out. Anyone got a light?
Yes, here. Fleet. Fleet, let's move along. The priests don't care for visitors stopping outside their holy place of worship. They consider it desecration.
They do they? Desecration, huh? They don't know what desecration is.
Fleet, behave yourself. What are you doing?
I intend to enter the temple and pay them a visit. But I see those torches in there, the fires, the heat. I'm taking off my shirt.
Put that back on again.
He's ripped the shirt from his back. It's in pieces. Too much wine. Strickland, let's push on. I can see them watching us.
Come along now, Fleet. You're making a scene.
Take your hands off me. Who do you think you are? Strickland, will you let go of my arm?
Fleet, be reasonable. If you behave like this, and they see you with me, it'll make it difficult for our police. Let go,
I say. That's better. Now, what's this? A stone step, eh? Well, chum, look up there at the top of the steps. There's a great big fat monkey idol. It's made of red stone. I'll take a closer look.
Come back, please. That's their god. The temple is ringed with priests. You won't get out alive.
Priests, monkeys, baboons, bid welcome to the white man who pays homage to your primitive rights.
You're interrupting a sacred service.
Well, I do believe that red monkey up there would like to meet me.
Come back here.
I'll give the old stone monkey something to remember me by. I got a gift for you, monkey. Here. Have a cigar!
He's passed out again. He's lying right at the foot of the idol. Fleet, for the Lord's sake, get up! Get up, you fool!
Can you see what he's done?
No. Where?
Look at the front of Hanuman. The idiot has ground his cigar butt into his eye.
Oh, now we're in for it. The white-robed priests who are advancing. You see that tall, thin priest? All in silver?
I've never seen anything like him before. He must be the protector of the idol. His whole body is covered in silver, even to his face.
Don't move. Don't say a word. He's coming to us.
Who is this creature on the ground? This white man who has befouled our temple and our worship of Hanuman.
I deeply regret this. He's an English planter. He's been celebrating unwisely.
Pick him up.
What's that? Well, hi, Strickle boy. Oh, Lord.
Let the beggar stand alone.
He will fall.
He will not. You, Englishman.
Yes, well, hi, man of silver. Are you talking to me?
You are not human. You are a beast. Return to your kingdom.
Yeah.
You will be punished.
Are you sure it's talking to me?
Sure.
His hand. Lord, take his hand away from my chest. It burns and its eyes here at the same time. I can't move.
Take your friend away. He has done with Hanuman. But Hanuman has not done with him.
Put him to bed. He's quieted down. I never thought we'd get him home.
Where do you have him?
A spare room just down the hall.
Strickland, happy New Year.
Yes, you too, Kipling. I've celebrated 19 New Years in this part of India, and still the natives surprise me. By rights, those priests should have cut us all down, yet they didn't.
The silver priest protected us.
Did he? I'm not so sure. Strange about
Fleet, believing the priest's hand on his chest was both burning hot and icy cold.
Yes, a form of mesmerism, I'd say.
We haven't heard the last of this. The managing committee of the temple will bring in action against the three of us for insulting their religion.
You really think so?
There's a section of the Indian Penal Code that deals with precisely such an offense. What's that? Our friend must be having a nightmare. I'll have a look to make sure. I'll be back in a moment. What is it, Fleet? Oh, what's the matter?
A terrible itch on my chest. I keep scratching, but it won't go away.
Now, go to sleep. Haven't you caused enough trouble for one night? Kipling, come and join us.
You two having lunch on the porch?
Oh, you're just in time. Lamb chops and lettuce.
How are you feeling today, Fleet?
He's been annoying my cook with his request.
All I asked for was an underdone chop. I want it rare. I can't eat shoe leather.
I see you've completely recovered from last night.
He says he doesn't remember a thing.
Nothing of what happened at the Temple of Hanuman?
No, I don't. Too much brandy and champagne, I'm afraid. Strickland, would you see if your cook has any more of those underdone chops on the fire? I'm ravenous.
What about you, Kipling?
What a tea, thank you. Well, you had a restful night, did you, Fleet?
A new breed, queer mosquitoes in these parts. I've been bitten to pieces, but only in one place.
Well, let Kipling have a look. He's a journalist, and he gets about in medical circles. Perhaps he'll know what bit you. Open your shirt. It may have gone down since this morning. I'll have some tea and chops brought out.
There you are. Nasty, eh?
Well, doesn't look like mosquitoes to me. Those marks in the center of your chest, well, they're the marks you'd find on an animal. A leopard.
They were pink this morning, those blotches. Now they're black.
Tea's coming. The cook gave me these two chops, Fleet. They're practically raw. Are you sure you wouldn't like them a little more done?
No. They're just right. I haven't felt this hungry in my life. I can't think of what's come over me.
As minute follows minute, the effect of Fleet's desecration of the temple becomes more apparent. His body is marked. His appetites are brutish. His act has angered a god. Foul deeds will rise, says Hamlet, though all the earth overwhelm them to men's eyes. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
The Bell System presents Miss Ella Fitzgerald.
Talk to the children. Talk to the children. Share a little secret. Share a little laugh. Growing up so far away. Growing up so fast. Talk to the children. Reach out and touch someone. From little people who want to hear you. Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi.
Yeah, I think they had to get rid of that ad campaign, reach out and touch someone. That could get a little into the Me Too era thing kind of stuff there.
Kind of thing that leads to restraining orders, yeah.
Yep. We have no idea what time this show's really going to end because it started late. Blog Talk's given us all kinds of problems, but we trust that you can hear us out day.
what?
I know Fox what? Saint Dan by his reaction.
Yep.
What?
Fox Saint's there. I think this will end at the 51-minute mark that it says it's going to. I believe that's when it will close off the show. So.
Yep. So you get a short one tonight. Same thing I said on my honeymoon. But no, you get. We're getting a short one tonight. But we think we have plenty of time to get in all of The Leopard Man, which has nothing to do with the movie of the same name.
No, no. At least I don't think so, no.
But
no.
I put the poster up there in the slideshow, assuming that's working, Blog Talk.
Oh, my. Yep.
But I'm not the only one who wants to rant tonight. Gar's neighbors have gone nuts with the boom booms over day.
Yeah. Veterans don't like explosions. We heard enough while we were serving the country and all that. So
that's understandable.
I don't know. I need to buy 1,000 acres, and that way I'll never have to hear that garbage again.
Oh, 1,000 acres. You can have all kinds of collies.
Yeah, collies, bears, panthers.
Yep.
Cougars, what that, all kinds of stuff.
Foxes.
Yeah. Leopards. Yeah, there you go. Tying
you
it
go.
Back into what we're talking.
Leopards are good. They're good fun.
Leopards.
I know a guy who has one in his house.
He has a leopard in his house?
Yes, he has a leopard in his house. A panther.
Mm-hmm. A panther. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, talk about a big cat, man. It's just a big kitty cat.
Yep.
If you do it right.
That's a big kitty cat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you do it right. And they'll come up. And
Joe look like a little bug.
And if you don't feed him the right dinner, you become his dinner.
You become dinner. That's right.
Well.
As it should be.
Well, most of the time, if you treat them right, they're just like any other good pet.
Our friend Mark DeWidziak, okay, well, he's been a guest here, I think, more than once, at least once.
Twice.
Anyway.
Twice, yeah.
He posted at least five, maybe there's 20, wonderful images of guys toasting from Universal Monster movies. There's Ernest Thysiger, who has his glass up for a toast in Bride of Frankenstein. Of course, Frederick March from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Boris Karloff as the monster with a cup in his hand. Drink. Good. And let's see. Oh, Renfield holding up a glass to Dracula when he first came to the castle. Then the Invisible Man holding up his potion. Okay, here's one of the mummy. Trying to get his tantalese there. Here's one. I don't know what it's from. Okay. Oh, the drinking contest with Peter Lorre and... Vincent Price, that was great. Twice Told Tales? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
It was the Black Cat. And Peter Lorre and him get in a drinking contest. Pretty funny. A wine tasting, actually. It was a wine tasting.
Ah, okay.
It was more of a drinking contest for Peter Lorre. I believe it's Twice Told Tales, something like that. Made in the same era as, what's that one with him and Karloff and...
Comedy of Terrors?
Yes, Comedy of Terrors. It was made right around the same time, right around the same era. Well, anyway, let's get back to CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Leopard Man. Yeah.
This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78.
WBBM!
Summertime in Jewel's Farm Stand Market. It's a big, beautiful selection of ripe and refreshing fruits, like honeydew melons, fragrant and oh so sweet. Jewel's Farm Stand honeydews are extra large, and are they good? Our price is very tasty, too. Because through Wednesday, extra large honeydew melons, net weight 5 pounds, are only $1.49 each. And for super snacking, our super plums are a handful. They're so big, so delicious, you'll just have to see for yourself. Take your pick from juicy friars and tart sweet Shanas and grand roses. If you're baking, tart California black plums are for you. And for eating out of hand, our Freedoms and Kelsey's are sweetly refreshing. If you can't decide which ones to buy, try them all. Because through Wednesday, all our super plums are only 69 cents a pound. So come on in and choose one of each or a basketful from the Farm Stand Market at Jewel. That's some pickings. Rudyard Kipling's India was a land of British rule and Indian image worship, a jungle of wild beasts, rivers of man-eating fish, and disease-bearing insects. Danger at every step. Yet, in spite of that, Westerners managed to live there. That is, those who accepted and respected the mystique of the country. One of them has profaned the monkey god Hanuman, a plantation owner called Fleet, who is already suffering from a strange illness.
What are you going to do with him, Strickland?
What can I do? He lives a two-day ride across the mountain. I can't very well boot him out in his condition.
He's already caused more trouble than he's worth.
Do me a favor, will you, Kipling? Spend the night here, in my house. The man needs constant watching, and I don't think I can do it alone.
Hello. Looking for you.
All right, I'll stay. Our spotted friend has spotted us.
Yes, well, I hope you won't think I'm absurd, but it must be the location down here, up in the hills. I never feel like this, but I am famished. Well, I know we ate at 1, and here it's only 4 o'clock, and I'm quite dying of hunger. As I suppose Cook wouldn't have any more of those delicious chops, would he? Tell him not to bother to cook them. I'll have them raw.
I'll see about it. Why don't you two go down to the stables? I'll meet you there.
Fleet, are you really serious about eating raw meat?
Oh, yes, yes. It's only to save Cook the trouble of cooking them, you understand. As I hate to make a nuisance of myself.
Yeah. Well, the stables are this way. Follow me.
You've known Strickland a long time, Mr. Kipling.
Not long. 10 years, since I was sent down here as a correspondent by my paper. And he'd been here some 10 years before I came.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anyone in the area who has the respect of the locals as much as he, and being a police officer at that. So we're just round the hedge now at the stables.
Uh-huh.
Nicely done, isn't it? The beams give you a sort of Tudor effect. Those stables could accommodate a dozen horses. Counting yours, there are just 5 now.
My mare is in there?
Yes, one of the boys brought her around last night. Now, I'll open this side door and walk you through.
Well, what is it? What's the matter with them?
I don't know. I've never seen them do this before. Perhaps it's something about us that's disturbing them.
Why, you chaps standing outside the stables. Fleet, the cook says there'll be some more chops for you in a while. What's all the noise in there? What's the matter with the horses?
I don't know what to make of it. When Fleet and I walked through before, they behaved like lunatics, rearing and kicking at their stalls.
Isn't that peculiar? Well, let's all of us go in. Will you look at them? They're sweating and shivering. The last time I saw anything like this was in Bournemouth, when a circus lion got loose among the horses. Kipling, Fleet, we'd better leave. They're going to injure themselves if we don't. I don't know what to make of it.
Yes, well, I've had enough of this. I'm heading back to the house and see whether those chops are ready. Which way do I go?
Follow the path around to your right.
Well, good, thank you. See you later.
I want to go right back into the stable, Kipling. You too.
Are you sure?
Just you and I. Without him. Yes, a good girl. Ah, what was all that upsetting you? Good girl, outrage. Yes, you see? Nothing to be afraid of.
Well, this black one over here has calmed down. Good boy, Black Diamond. Good boy.
Kipling. They aren't afraid of us. I'd give 3 months' pay if Outrage could only talk.
apologize, Mr. Strickland. I'm terribly sorry. But I took the wrong path and I landed right back here.
We'd better move out of the stalls before we get trampled on. Fleet! Fleet, it's you! You're making them panic.
Oh, nonsense. Something's wrong with your horses, not mine. My mare will follow me like a dog, I'll show you. Now, where have you put her?
I wouldn't if I were you.
Right, there in the last stall.
Go!
Go! Broken, I'm at stolen heading for the field. Kipling, help me get this fool out of here. His horse has knocked him flat.
Oh, no, I'm all right. I don't need any help. This whole thing's a mystery to me. Which way did you say the house was?
Around to your right. Keep right.
Well, aren't you going to find your mare?
No, not now. That's funny. I was hungry before, but now I think I'll lie down before we go out to dinner. Can't stand the noise of these brutes.
Gone off to sleep. What a way to spend New Year's Day.
Listen, do you notice? The moment he's gone, the horses settle down.
I must say, sometimes he makes me want to kick him, too.
Have you noticed anything peculiar in his manner?
Fleets? Oh, you mean the way he eats, like an animal?
A wild animal. Tearing at the meat. Awful manners. When I bent over him a moment ago, did you notice his chest? His shirt was open. Those marks. What did you make of them?
Well, they could have been caused by blister flies.
Never. In a pattern like that. Now, besides, his skin has turned furry, like a leopard's.
Possibly a birthmark that's just become visible.
Well, whatever it is, it's unpleasant to look at.
You act as though you know something you think I should.
Now, what is it? I can't tell you now.
Well, why not? The horses seem to know.
You'd probably say I was off my head. Look, Kipling, I want you here to help me watch Fleet.
But I was dining out tonight.
Well, so am I, and so is Fleet, if he doesn't change his mind. We'll all dine together. What say we have a ride before dinner? You and I and Fleet.
Do you think he can get a horse under him?
Oh, you're right. Look, I'll go tell him we'll be back before 7.
Well, that was an excellent ride. What time is it, Strickland?
Oh, we're fine. A bit before 7. I told Fleet that's when we'd be back. I'm hoping tonight and tomorrow morning are the last we'll see of him. The next time I volunteer to put up a friend of a friend, will you please kick me? Here we are, home again. Well, isn't that the very limit? There are no lights on in the entire house. Indian servants are really a careless breed.
The horse has gone wild!
Where are you going?
The stables! I can't hold her!
Well, there's something lying here in the driveway. Don't. Settle down, settle down. No, no, you don't. No horse is going to throw me.
We'll leave the horses tied up here and take them into the stalls later. I can't think where the stable boys have gone to. I want to go back and see what made Outrage behave like that.
Well, there was something lying in the driveway.
Of course, I just remembered. Thinking we'd be out for dinner, I told the staff they could have the night off. That's why the house was dark.
Kipling, look over there. Look, under the orange bushes.
Well, Fleet! What are you doing on your hands and knees on the ground?
Hello, Strickland. You too, Kipling.
What's wrong with you, Fleet?
Nothing. Nothing in the world.
Come now, let me help you up.
No, I'm fine. Leave me alone. I enjoy the smell of earth, so I stay close to it.
Are you going to remain here? Rooting about on all fours like a pig snuffling for truffles?
No, I'm going for a walk.
Now?
Yes, a long walk. All night, in fact.
Strickland, I've decided not to go out to dinner.
Oh, thank you. I can put together a good meal for the three of us.
Well, how does that strike you, Fleet?
I am not really hungry.
It's all that raw meat, no wonder.
Fleet, come along. It's going to turn cold out here tonight. Come along inside.
It's much nicer out here. Let's dine outside and have some more chops. Lots of them. Underdone. Bloody ones with gristle.
No, Fleet.
I said inside. And inside it will be. Stand up.
All right. I'm up.
Oh, that's better. We'll all meet in the dining room in half an hour. And bring your appetite.
I will. I'm suddenly ravenously hungry.
Has he gone to his room?
Shh, shh. Let's go into the kitchen. We can talk there without being overheard.
Do you know, there's something very wrong about him. No question. That face, his eyes.
The moment I lit the lamp, he shrank away as if the light hurt his eyes.
That's what struck me the most. His eyes.
I can't look at them.
There's a green light behind them. And his face, his mouth. The way his lower lip hangs down. Why, he's become monstrous.
Well, let's do something about dinner. Anything special in mind?
To tell you the truth, Strickland, sitting at table with that creature is not going to increase my appetite. Well, anything will do, Strick, anything at all.
Quick, Scott, what's that? It's coming from Fleet's room. Come on. Fleet! Fleet, what is it?
Which one is his room?
Fleet's door. Oh, it's locked. Fleet, open the door. Kipling, you've got your riding boots on. Kick the door in. There he goes. He's trying to get out the window. He's got to stop him.
Strickland. Strickland, look at his face. He's become an animal. No, don't go any closer. Do you hear that? Some other animal is calling him from outside.
Now, Fleet, you're all right. No one is going to hurt you.
Strickland, I've got a boot jack. Distract him. Yes. Keep talking to him and maybe I can get round behind him.
Fleet, you know I have a gun. All police officers carry guns, but I'm not going to use it. After all, we're friends, aren't we? So all I'm asking you to do is come away from that window and sit down so that you and I can have a quiet talk. Come on, old chap.
Oh, I got him.
Oh, I'll say you did. You knocked him unconscious with one blow. Well, now we have to work fast to tie him up.
Here's some bunker rope. Now, I'll hold the knees while you tie.
Around each foot.
Yes.
And back. Yes, there, through the arms. There, once more.
I've got the end of it. Through here. Here's the rope.
A few knots. One, and two. Yes, that ought to do it. Look, I'm going to tie this scarf around his mouth. And those teeth of his have grown awfully sharp.
You'd better get hold of Dr. Dumoise.
You don't really believe an ordinary medical man can cure this?
I don't know what to believe. I can't understand it.
I can. It's what I wanted to tell you before, but didn't dare. Remember the silver priest's last words? Hanuman is not through with you.
Strick, you should have been a writer.
This was Fleet. This poor creature. His human spirit must have been giving way all day. And he simply died at twilight. When we saw him in the driveway in the dark, it had already left him. This beast is all that's left.
Indian folklore and the diaries of those who ruled India in Queen Victoria's day are filled with accounts of the weakness of the white man before the powers of India's religions. Today, we of the West may, believe it or not, the choice is ours. I shall return shortly with Act 3.
People and places you really like. Half Step Western, you're gonna find. Each place is special, they're one of a kind.
Best Western's toll-free number gets you reservations at any Best Western Motor Inn or hotel in the world in a matter of minutes. The Best Western toll-free reservations number in the yellow pages.
Turn it, Adam. Best Western,
turn it. Boy, Harry, I tell you, all everybody thinks about these days is what's in it for me.
Yeah, Joe, you're right. Well, gotta run. I'm due at the Red Cross.
Red Cross? What's in it for you?
I teach first aid.
Oh, picking up some extra change, huh?
No, Red Cross volunteers don't get paid. This is the 100th year we've been helping people.
100 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Harry, you think maybe there's something in it for me?
Could be, Joe. Could be.
Red Cross, ready for a new century.
Pardon me, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of glasses that needs polishing, would you?
A pair of glasses?
See, I suddenly have this urge for a cigarette.
I see. Well, what does polishing glasses have to do with your sudden urge for a cigarette?
Well, I do that instead of smoking.
You polish glasses?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes I take a shower.
Here, take the glasses.
Oh, thanks.
That replace your craving for a cigarette, does it?
Well, that's one of the things.
Oh.
Like I said, sometimes I take a shower, sometimes I exercise, go for a walk.
Listen, where'd you learn all this anyway?
From the American Lung Association.
The American Lung Association?
They have this new program, see, called Freedom from Smoking.
Freedom from Smoking?
Helps you to kick the habit in just 20 days.
20 days?
On your own.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, do you find it's helped you?
Well, you don't see me smoking, do you?
No.
I mean, I really wanted a cigarette, but I didn't give in, did I?
No, you sure didn't.
Now, if I can just get rid of this urge to polish
glasses.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't happen to have another pair on you, would you? Sunglasses, swim goggles?
If you really want to kick the habit but need help doing it, contact your local American Lung Association for information on their Freedom from Smoking program. As always, it's a matter of life and breath.
Well, we're still hanging in here at Erie House Radio. With
yeah,
me,
that's
fellas?
That bleep is...
Okay.
Hmm?
Just making sure you're here.
Yeah. The character Fleet, what a horrible house guest. I tell you.
He's a rude dude, ain't he?
He is. I'd let him fend for himself, and I'd take off.
That's right.
Some people would say, well, that makes me the bad guy. It's like, no.
I think not.
He's just horrible.
Yep.
Wow.
So are you staying up for the new to see the New Year's coming
no.
on in or
I'm not.
Hey, we're glad you
no.
came back too, good old Bob. Glad you stopped back in. We got things working, sort of. We think.
Sort of. For the next 30 minutes, maybe?
Maybe. Dave, are you still
maybe.
With us? I don't know if Dave's with us or not, but that's okay. We'll get him with us. As we get through this story, the Leopard Man. I like how one of the characters' names is Kipling in this story.
Well, yeah, he's the writer. So, yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Odd how they would put 2 and 7 together like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it till midnight. I probably won't make it till 10.
Yeah, I don't plan on it. I had a long night last night with the broadcast, and most of the time these days on Sunday, I'm in a coma. I'm just like not very into it.
Well, but you're here, and we appreciate it.
Well, thanks.
Gosh,
damn it. I'm glad I could show up. I guess, sort of, however it works out. I do have a moral if we can get to the end of it.
Okay, well, we will. We'll have
we
plenty of time for the moral.
Long enough. Yeah.
In spite of getting ripped off of about, what, 10, 15 minutes? Maybe more than that? Close to 20? I don't know. Well.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I hope they don't pull the cork on us.
Yeah, what were your traditions as a kid for New Year's?
Didn't have any specific foods. Essentially, it was probably watching it on television and staying up long enough to see the ball drop. But those days are long gone.
Yeah,
I haven't participated in. I can't remember if the missus and this was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, back when I was married. I don't remember if we stayed up or not. Maybe. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That
was, possibly. You know, Denise would come, and I was DJing for a living those same 30-some-odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise would come and see me often, sometimes and stay till the end of the night, but she refused. Absolutely refused to go out on New Year's Eve. She called it amateur night.
Well, it's also a little bit dangerous because there are amateurs out there. They don't know how to drink and drive correctly. And,
correctly.
That's a skill right there.
Is there a correct way to drink and drive?
Yesterday, I showed a movie called Creature with the Atomic Brain.
That was weird.
The missus goes up to husband and says, "Here's one for the road." And it's like, "No, what are you doing? One for the road? No, no, no."
It's one for the ditch.
Yeah, exactly. One for the road. And I was like, "What? What? No."
Yeah, I don't know.
After he left, she guzzled like four martinis at once and passed out or something. I forget what happened. I don't know. It was a weird movie.
That was weird.
Weird, weird, weird.
That is a weird movie.
And we got a weird radio program for you tonight.
It is unique. You don't think of this kind of thing with Rudyard Kipling, but yep, there it is.
There it is. And this is our last show, gang, our very last show of 2023.
Yep, we snuck it in there after all.
Yeah. Amazing but true. Hopefully they'll have their you-know-what together next weekend. We'll talk more about that after we wrap things up, which we have plenty of time to do.
Yep. Let's head them up. Move them out.
That's right. Let's wrap up The Leopard Man, CBS Radio Mystery Theater on WPBM.
He lay in Strickland's dining room, this bound and gagged Englishman called Fleet, who had turned from human into animal. Kipling and Strickland waited for the local doctor who lived near that Indian outpost. The inhuman creature struggled weakly on the floor, his eyes glaring with the look you have so often seen on the faces of captive animals in a zoo.
What time is it? Almost midnight. Well, he's taking his own sweet time, isn't he, old Dr. Dumoise? I can't bear to look at poor Fleet, or rather what's left of him.
Chief Strickland!
Oh, yes, sir. Come in, Doctor.
Dear me, I don't like making calls in the middle of the night. Why must people always get sick after office hours?
Oh, didn't my man tell you it was urgent?
Yes, he did. That's why I'm here. Where is the patient?
Right there. On the floor.
Oh, heavens, mon Dieu, mon Dieu, mon Dieu. I've never seen anything more ghastly. Where did he come from?
Oh, what is it, Doctor? What's wrong with him?
I have to examine him. I don't know where to begin. Where did you find him? Is he an animal or...
A man, Doctor. He was a guest of mine.
He became so violent, we had to tie him up and gag him. But could you look at his chest? Now, do you see where his shirt has been torn away?
Yes, I see. What's the chap wearing? Some kind of costume.
Costume?
Well, it looks like the spotted hide of a leopard.
That's his own skin, Doctor.
Oh, no, I can't believe that. Would you remove the gag from his mouth so I can proceed with my examination?
I wouldn't recommend it. He makes some unearthly noises.
Yes, I wouldn't doubt it. So would I if I were afflicted this way. But if you leave him gagged, he might swallow his tongue and death would be instantaneous.
Doctor, if you kneel down on the floor beside us, you might also like to ask the poor chap a few questions.
Yes, I would. I'd like to ask him how this transformation took place. His mind is all right, isn't it?
Oh, yes, he understands you.
Then at least I might learn something.
Doctor, I gather from what you're saying you feel there's not much you can do for him.
Well, at this late stage, I doubt it. It's a wonder the man is still alive.
One more knot, and we'll have the gag off.
Let me. Hello, sir. I am Dr. Dumoise. I've seen you watching me with your eyes. And very nice eyes you have, sir. Sparkling green. remember, sir, what bit you and why, how it happened. Get away from me! Don't let him at me! Please, I'm giving you a choice. Either stop that noise or he shall gag you again. I know you don't like that.
He understands. He's nodding his head.
Chief Strickland, to the best of my knowledge, the victim is dying of hydrophobia. I'd like to have been of some help, but I'm afraid I'm here too late.
Whenever the last moments come, I'll send my man over directly.
Yes, please do.
Don't concern yourself about a thing. We'll call you.
Yes, au revoir, au revoir.
Fleet, the doctor has gone. Now, I think it's time we were realistic. Kipling, the only person who can reverse this spell is that silver priest.
You think you could persuade him to leave the temple?
If we can't, Kipling, then we must use force.
I'll enter the temple first. Ask for an audience with the silver priest. I will try to lead him into a corner and talk to him.
I'll be watching from out here.
So when you think it's the right moment, you'll try to come up behind us and slip that noose over his head, and I'll wrap this cloth round his mouth.
So far, so good. But if he struggles, take the other end of the noose rope, grab it, and tie his arms to his body.
I hope he'll come without a struggle.
But if we're seen, and the other priests try to rush us... You've got my pistol, haven't you?
Yes. I hope you took the bullets out.
It's not loaded, but they won't know that. Now go on. Kipling, get started. I'll be right behind you.
You cannot enter this temple. Please leave.
My name is Kipling. I'm doing a story on the great and sacred rites of India.
You must go. We do not admit visitors. A non-believer defiles our worship.
The temple of the monkey god Hanuman is very ancient, and I'm going to write about it. Go speak to the silver priest.
You have no permission.
I shall ask him myself. He's standing right behind you. Sir, Your Holiness, do you remember me, Kipling? I'm the journalist who was here the first hour of the year 1900 with Chief Strickland.
Regrettably, this Englishman entered the temple before I could stop him. You may leave us. I will talk to this Mr. Kipling.
Do you remember that night? May I talk with you? Perhaps over in this corner where we will be alone.
What do you wish?
The third person who was with us. But he is dying.
So be it.
You have no conscience about killing?
He committed a great sin. He must pay for it.
We do not wish him to die.
You cannot stop the power of Hanuman. Nothing can stop his punishment.
You can stop the punishment, and you will. I've got the noose. Clean over his head.
Careful. Don't pull it too tight.
The gag.
Got it.
Take the other end of the rope. Yeah, quickly.
Yes.
Wind it around his arms.
Now, if only we can get him out of here before the others see us.
Here they come. He can't get away from me. Get that pistol out of your pocket, Kipling.
Right.
I'll point it at the silver priest's head. Hold it high so everyone can see what you're doing. We are taking your high priest with us. We will not harm him. He has injured a friend of ours to the point of death, which we cannot accept. Don't move, any of you, or the pistol that you see pointed will go off. Let's go before they decide what to do.
Priest, that was a man. Look at him. He's struggling for life.
So be it.
He meant Hanuman no harm. He was foolish. He should pay, yes, but not with his life.
High priest, I have much respect for your powers, but none for the evil retribution you have visited upon a man whose only crime was having taken too much liquor on a night of the white man's celebration. Now, I will give you 5 minutes, old man, to remove the curse you have placed upon him. After that, I pull the safety catch of this pistol, and then the trigger. It is your choice, his life or yours.
Oh!
Yes, what is it? Come in.
Oh, good morning, Kipling. It's 7.
Oh, is it? Did you get any sleep?
What time did the silver priest leave? About 4? The moment I hit the pillow, I was out.
Why, you're all dressed. How long have you been up?
About an hour. I thought in my official capacity, representing the law here, I should visit the temple.
At 6 in the morning?
Now, there is prayer all day and all night. I told them I would personally do what I could to redress the pollution of their god. It was strange.
The reaction was strange?
They solemnly assured me that, to their knowledge, no white man had ever touched the idol, and that I must be laboring under some kind of a delusion.
Not so strange, Strickland. We're in that part of the world that hears no evil, sees no evil, and speaks no evil. What that silver priest did was so simple, it's hard to believe. Opening Fleet's shirt and laying his hand upon his chest, and that is all.
The cure started instantly. The leopard skin seemed to dissolve. Fleet's face changed, like watching Jekyll turn back into Hyde.
Yeah. And the eyes, where they had been green and malevolent and brutish, piercing like a cat's, they lost all that color and became the pale blue he was born with.
Kipling, slip on some clothes and let's go see how he's feeling today.
Strickland, Kipling.
He knows us.
Well, a jolly good morning to you fellows. Happy New Year to you.
To you also.
It's not New Year's Day, Fleet.
It's not.
Today is the morning of the 2nd. You slept the clock round with a vengeance.
Mr. Strickland, Dr. Dumois here.
Oh, come in, Doctor. Kipling, this ought to be good.
Strickland, I've brought an assistant to do what is necessary. Oh, my goodness. Is this Mr. Fleet? Yes, happily so. But what was I...
Fleet, get yourself dressed. Kipling, let's take the doctor onto the porch.
Well, have you two been playing some kind of practical joke? I want you to know, I take a dim view of such goings-on.
Well, Dr. Dumois, it was dark. It was late. All of us had celebrated a little more than usual. Quite understandable, we forgive you.
Well, I don't wish to be forgiven, huh? What was understandable, eh? I don't drink at all, sir.
You don't? Well, nevertheless, it was your opinion. You had seen a near-fatal case of hydrophobia.
Why don't we all forget it, Doctor? A mistake is a mistake. It had a happy ending.
I never make mistakes. Not of such proportion.
I really wish you would take all this more calmly, Doctor.
Yes, send us your bill and we'll take care of it.
Strickland, I have always thought you were reasonable and responsible. I'm surprised you would play such games, dressing a man in a leopard suit and all that. I am not very surprised that this Kipling person, who I know makes his living writing lies, was your fellow conspirator. I bid you both good morning. I have some honestly ill patients to visit.
Well, our last meal together, gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed your lunch.
Well, I shall be sorry to get back home, chaps. Perhaps you'll invite me down next year, eh? I wouldn't mind Christmas with you. It would be jolly.
Yes, Strickland, don't you think having Fleet down next Christmas would be jolly?
I say, I hope you don't mind if I mention something, eh? I noticed it when I came into the dining room right away. Some animal must have gotten in here during the night.
Did he? Did he?
Yes, it left a horrible smell. A bit like the zoo in Calcutta. Never been there. That where they keep the big cat.
Yes, I've been to the zoo in Calcutta.
Yes, these things happen. One leaves the windows open and the smell comes in. Try burning sulfur, Strickland. That should get rid of it. Well, I'm off. Pick up my bag from my room and meet you out by my horse, right? And remember then, next Christmas.
Strickland, it's been a little like the zoo in Calcutta.
I know. Let's
saddle up our horses and have a good afternoon's ride. Fresh air is what I need.
You know, you never told me how you happened to have Fleet as a house guest in the first place.
I'm going to forget him forever. Do you hear? Kipling, if you want to write about what happened, by all means do it. But leave me out of it.
Well, that would be hard to do. I just may never write it. Because no one would ever believe me.
If I remember my Kipling correctly, he casts a jaundiced eye upon Christmas and New Year's in India, saying, "Let us honor, O my brothers, Christmas Day. Call a truce, then, to our labors. Let us feast with friends and neighbors, and be merry as the customs of our caste. For if faint and forced the laughter, and if sadness follow after, we are richer by one mocking Christmas past." I shall return shortly.
On PBS television.
Reach for the stars.
Have a taste of action in a world of new. See the biggest movie, shake away the blues.
We're coming on the way you knew we would. Once you think the end, America, you're looking good. We feel it from each other, cold stone and light grain. Light grain, we shot from the best.
On PBS television.
Isn't it too simple and self-protecting to dismiss the strange by calling it fiction or superstition? I believe that we, in our part of the world, have a great deal to learn about the power of the unknown that controls our lives. Look up into the sky one night and ask yourself, how can I be immune to the unaccountable when that moon up there causes the tides of all the oceans to rise and fall? Our cast included Norman Rose, Earl Hammond, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Oh, you worry for nothing.
The top lock was closed. Now for number two. There.
Go ahead, hon. Can you get the lights?
I got them. Oh, I'm so sad about our trip, but it is nice to be safe at home.
I'm with you. Oh, well, listen, I'll take the bags right into the bedroom and...
Jerry.
What is it?
Look. What's that thing? On a tripod by the window.
What? Or some kind of a gun.
What? Jerry, someone's been in our apartment. Maybe they're still...
Okay, lady. Oh. Shut up. The same goes for you, Four Eyes. One peep out of either one of you, and I blast you.
This is E.G. Marshall, inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
I still say back up, Ray.
I still say you're wrong.
Reserve your tax-free all paper certificate now under...
Okay. That, again, was WBBM from Ski Radio. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Oh, no.
The great thing about being oblivious is being oblivious to the fact that you're oblivious.
We were ready that time.
Wow.
Yep. New Year's Eve. I can't believe it.
All right.
I can't believe we're on.
Have a good sleep.
Yeah. Wait till you see the next here, I'll send it to you. The next little poster, you know, from the movies, of those little things I make. Yes.
Let's do hope that Erie House does, or that the Blog Talk does address these issues this week.
If not, we're going to address it in a different way.
That's right. You might cut the cord and find some other venue.
We might have to do that. I don't want to. But you're pushing me, guys. You're pushing me.
Yeah.
They're pushing.
Yep. You're just pushy.
Was it just this week alone, or was it earlier in the year as well?
Last three weekends, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last three weekends, and then we had two other weekends that we had trouble with. One night we couldn't broadcast that night either.
That one's for tomorrow on the Erie House page. I just put in our group chat. Our listeners will have to wait, because I'll put that on the Erie House page.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll post that. For the new year. First one of the new year.
Well, there you go.
You like that, huh?
Yes.
You like that. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
You know what? I might as well post it early.
Yeah,
put
I might
that
as
up
well.
There. Guys, run on over to the Erie House page. I'm about to post something funny that I think you'll be able to appreciate. But this venue might have their widow feelings hurt. Here you go, Gar. Well, you've seen it.
Yep. There for all to see. So, Dale, if there's Blog Talk Radio, what's happening on Blog Talk Radio next week?
Well, after a 2 to 20 minute delay, we will have a whole lot of radio. We're starting off the year. The precious stories about rings. Yep. Rings on their fingers and bells on their navels or something. But we got Midnight Cab. Ooh, Jeff Reagan is back. Jeff Reagan Investigator. That's with our boy Jack Webb, right?
Hopefully.
Yep. And then also a suspense. And, of course, Saturday we'll return with another CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That title, I'm not sure what that says, but whatever. Okay. CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns 1 week from yesterday. Maybe, if everything works. And we don't have to...
If everything works, yeah.
We have no way of knowing. They lied and sent me this grand email about a week and a half ago, how they got everything fixed. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Show me.
And how come your warning is still there?
That's right. Why does it say we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system? Our engineers are working to fix the issue. They are not. They are in the office party getting gassed right now. I guarantee.
No, that was yesterday. They're still gassed from yesterday, though.
And they're hungover. Damn it, they're not doing their jobs for us.
Do you remember the good old days, say, in the 1970s, where instead of this being the sound of fireworks, it was just a truck backfiring?
Yeah, maybe.
They made cars too good.
A little too cold here for fireworks in my neighborhood this weekend. Thank you very much.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Even out here in the country where we got a bunch of country folk that likes blowing shit up. Or stuff up, excuse me.
wow.
Oops. Well, that's how they say
that
it.
Tip jar.
That wasn't me. That was my impression of them. But anyway, They're not even blowing up the boom booms.
Yeah,
You know, and I am so surprised at my dog. You know, collies, they are supposed to be, they are very sensitive creatures, and they tell you not to make a lot of loud noises. They you know, they're shy and sensitive little creatures, or big creatures in this gorilla's case, but 4th of July, he runs to the back of the yard when we're shooting off the boom booms. It doesn't bother him. It bothers him more that his herd is not where they're supposed to be, on the other side of the fence.
Ah.
Yeah, that's a notion there, Dave, what you said. It could be too cold. So I need to move to a place where it's too cold for these morons to engage.
You were there once, Alaska.
I was, yeah, Arctic Circle.
Probably use real dynamite over
there. What did we do? Here's the irony on that. We went to the Arctic Circle. Why? To perform war games. What did they do? Blow stuff up.
Did we win? Anyway, let's head on out of here. They are giving me notice that we're going to finish on the regular time-ish, sort of. And we will see you next week at 6:30 on Friday and Saturday. And then, of course, Saturday night, it's Horrible Horror starring...
what's his name?
Gargoyle.
The
castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Happy and New Year!
Dig it.
Yep, it ended almost on time. More or less.
There you go.
There you go. Did you see? Did you see it, Gar? Did you see it? Did you see it, huh? Did you see it, huh?
He's been standing there since blog talk was working correctly.
Yes.
And he's naked. And he has no skin.
Yeah, he's really naked.
He's really naked. He's
hairy at all. You know, standing there since Blog Talk was working correctly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got man hands. Huge hands on that skeleton. Good grief.
Well, you know what they say.
About skeletons?
Huge hands. Huge bones. Huge gloves.
He
doesn't
have any organs, so...
That was always a big joke. What you know what they say about big shoes? What? Big feet.
Big socks.
Yes.
Yeah, big socks.
Yeah. I'm glad CW is not here. She'd be straightening me out, boy.
Yeah. Now they're doing more rapid fire booms out there. Boom, boom, boom.
Actually, I'm not glad that CW is not here. But
no. Always better when she's here.
That could be a local shooting. I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it's fireworks or a local shooting.
I know.
That's right.
Well, in 2023, there's been three local shootings on this street. Four if I include one street over. Not good for local shootings. Yeah.
And you're unharmed. Suspect number one. No, I'm sorry. That's not funny.
Yes.
That's not funny, man.
Well, no, it's not funny. It just it just goes to show what planning will get you, you know?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
They haven't caught me yet.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're gunning for me outside.
That's not good.
Then don't go out to get your newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what time it is.
You know, nowadays too, you have to worry that there aren't crazy people out there shooting each other up. You know,
Go into a department store, a grocery store, a drug store. Going out, you're really, you know,
yeah.
You have to be aware of your surroundings even more so than before.
Yep.
There's crazy people. Well, they're crazier than we are. That's the problem. If they were just as crazy as we are,
we're harmless crazy, though. We're like a harmless
exactly.
crazy.
Yes.
A fun crazy.
Yes.
Oh, God, what are they going to do next that's going to harm me crazy?
A make-your-own-jello crazy. You know, sure, why not?
Make your own jello. Okay.
Yeah. Well, if you can't make your own jello, then you ought to just give it up now.
Oh, no, it's jello. Sounds complicated.
Let's see. Add water. Have a good day. How hard could it get?
I don't know.
you know. Or,
one
or
never knows.
Age. One never knows.
One never knows.
I find this is unusual. As old as I am, I have to have a list when I go to the grocery store.
Otherwise, I do too. I do too. I need it too.
And it's like, you're this old. Shouldn't it be like you know what you need? Why do you have to have, well, we need this on the list.
Well, because if it's something that you don't buy regularly, you definitely want to do that. Or if you're cooking something in particular and you need certain ingredients.
Oh, no, I'll forget the bread and the milk. I'll get, you know, something weird like, oh, look, canned tapioca pudding. Well, sure, I need that, but
I get
the bread
stuck
and milk.
On sales of, like, meat. Like, they had boneless, skinless chicken for, like, 99 cents a pound. I'm like, yeah, how much of this can I carry out?
Yeah,
then you get home and realize your freezer's not big enough.
We have a small freezer, so there's not much we can usually take in that department.
We got two refrigerators that have okay-sized freezers, so we could store a little bit of stuff.
I have found that because when Bird's Eye has buy one, get one free, I'm there. But then I get home, it's like, oh, I hope this fits.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have bought all
that. That's where a list comes in. Yeah, that's where a list comes in because you can do inventory at the house. But, so far, I haven't gotten to the point where it's like, oh, I bought too much frozen. That hasn't happened.
I just like being able to buy bulk every once in a while when they do have a good sale because I remember times in my life where I was so broke. It's like you didn't have a choice. You had X amount of dollars to buy just a handful of things that are going to last you X amount of days, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have a little breathing room now, just a little, not a lot.
Oh yeah, If you can purchase a month out, you're good.
Yeah.
In fact, you could say you've succeeded if you can buy a month out.
I think you've succeeded when you can like live off the land and you don't need nobody. That's when you succeeded.
Well, we'd have to turn back into farmers to do that. I don't know if everybody can do that.
Well, not only farming, but, like, getting your own meat is not a pleasant process.
That's part of farming. That really is it.
Well, yeah, it is.
Farming
it
isn't just vegetables.
And I don't know.
Betty's good for milk until she's not.
I don't know how I would handle that part of it.
Yeah.
I've never even gutted a fish.
Right. Fish don't have the personality that you could find. Even in, say, a duck or a chicken can be
cute.
Pleasant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a cute animal.
I don't
want to
kill the chicken.
Guy off with his head.
We eat ugly things. We eat ugly things. Yeah, we don't like killing the cute animals, but
which explains octopus, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. I guess kind of spongy for me, but
or like a lobster. Can you really fall in love with a lobster? My wife could. She could fall in love with any kind of animal. I swear to God.
Yeah.
She is such a gentle soul.
I'm surprised you guys aren't vegans. I tell you.
No, she's a realist, though. You know what I mean? With respect to that.
If I had to go out and kill my own, I probably would become a vegan, yeah. I probably would.
That's, I would have difficulty doing that. I'd have to be very, 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 very hungry.
It depends on how hungry you are and how much you like your health. We have to have proteins. Now, are you going to get that from beans and nuts? Maybe, but
or the
Donner
Party. Yay!
Actually, I would think that the protein in a human being
would be
pretty disgusting.
If you're pushed, you know what I mean, and there's a dead guy there and you're starving, it's like,
Somebody
start a fire.
Anybody got
a
salt?
Salt,
a knife, and a fork. Let's go.
You do what you have to. It's like, how bad do you want to survive? You know,
the bad thing about the Donner Party is when they looked at each other and said, "That tastes like chicken."
Yeah.
Gee,
the kids tasted so much better. Oh, geez, that's horrible.
So tender. So tender.
Yeah.
Oh, please, no. Please, no. Let's not go there.
I mean, I do bargain meats at the deli. I get chicken, pork, and beef every 2 weeks. And if I had to actually slaughter the animal, I'd have to get used to that practice.
My son's in the Costco cult, and we get pork like $2, sometimes maybe $2.20 a pound. These big, huge pork loins, and they're great. You can make, cut a chunk off and make a roast. You can chop them up into pork chops. You can, you know what I mean? And you get your meat cheap that way instead of paying $4 or $5 a pound for pork chops.
Right. Well, I mean, you could go a little bit further and get an actual meat saw so you could cut them up yourself.
Well, we don't need a saw. We got some pretty feisty kitchen knives to cut up those loins. Yeah, we just got a big one today. Made like 16 pork chops and a big pork roast. So that was nice.
Oh, there you go.
And then we had another one because she's making about 7 pounds of pork. The kids are coming over. And we got to have the obligatory sauerkraut.
Yeah, Dave was saying he didn't get sauerkraut this year.
No,
I don't think she got any. I don't think she got any sauerkraut.
Oh, you're not going to have good luck.
I've got some, but when you get when you're single, your condiments they sit in that refrigerator for a long time. You got to start checking the dates.
Yes, there's some things that never die, though. There's some things that never ever die.
Well, yeah, sauerkraut. What is it? Vinegar. So what could go wrong?
Jesus is not one of them. But,
cheese is not, when cheese starts turning colors.
Actual and real honey will last forever, literally. What else is there that lasts a long time?
Pepper?
You can keep dry pasta a long time. And rice and beans, like the real stuff.
Yeah.
Those will last a while.
Seal it, make sure nothing gets to it,
Survivalist living on Erie House Radio.
I know. But I mean, if you actually did live onto and into a farm, then you would become a lot more self-sufficient, and you would take care of some of these things.
Yep. Yeah.
And you grow animals for food, not pets. You know, and returns into a pet, it's not food.
I don't know. Some kids are just like, they love little animals and stuff like that, and the day they have to learn on the farm that someday they have to go to the butcher shop. Sorry.
Yeah, there was some comedian was talking about getting he had a pet turkey for every year.
Not all of them have a spider that says some pig, you know?
Yeah.
No, my brother, when he was real young, refused to eat hot dogs because he thought they were made out of dogs. So he refused to eat hot dogs for many moons.
No, you have to go to Korea to get the real hot dogs.
Oh, stop.
Hello.
Stop it.
Mad with real dogs.
You're making me laugh too much. Oh, God. Oh, what I used to do with the cats screaming and the dogs yipping next to Wang's restaurant. Who was complaining the music was too loud? Big mistake. I told everybody I hid a microphone in his kitchen. Let's see what's going on in there. You hear these cats screaming and dogs yipping. He comes over yelling again. I'm like, dude, don't make me escalate because I will. Oh, I don't think I could eat a dog. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Or a horse.
Nestor and.
Or a cat.
Meow.
I'd have to be. Yeah. Bunny? Yeah, I'd probably eat a bunny. If I had to.
That's the weird thing. I know some folks that have had pet bunnies, and they were, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, my bunny just. Yeah.
We used to have a couple pet bunnies.
Yeah. And again, I guess, you know, if you didn't make any inroads with the animals, then sure, that's dinner.
Well, that's why you love
people,
them. Because you need them and you want them to breed more so that there's plenty of them and then a few extra to eat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Farmer, they love their animals. They're almost like family
uh-huh.
until they eat them.
Uh-huh. And then you get more.
Yeah.
Cycle of life.
But some of them are
my mom grew up on the eggs.
And, you know.
My mom grew up on a farm, and, yeah, she accepted when it was time for the pet to go.
Yeah.
You know?
My grandmother used to slaughter her own chickens. Before I was years ago, but like back in the Depression era.
Yeah.
She used to slaughter her own chickens in the backyard.
I've got some family photographs, and understand that to get family photographs from the 1800s, 1900s, it was an expensive ordeal, but they saved up and
yeah.
they got, you know. And some of these people looked rough, so they, you know, they probably
yep.
took care of feeding themselves.
Yeah, it was rough living. But
yeah.
if you want to, you will. And if you want to have radio, you will, in spite of Blog Talk. If you try
yeah.
really, really hard. Don't
yeah.
make us go to Spotify
was,
or something, man. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I was, I've been listening to Astounding Stories, which is a, LibriVox recording of someone reading Astounding Stories, and they were printed in 1930. And it's like, wow, so different. A whole different world, 1930 from 2023.
Yeah.
And even though it's science fiction, there's very interesting stories. You can go to archive.org and download these readings of these 1920s, 1925, 1930, 1940, old pulp magazines. And the stories are just like, wow, a lot of fun.
You know, every year, all year long, it's Marcia, 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 Marcia. Tomorrow, it's Jan 1st.
Woohoo.
Ah.
There you go.
Ah.
I love that.
Little Brady humor there, kids.
Little Brady humor.
Very little. Very little, yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it was good. It was just humor. Oh, good Lord. Well,
yeah.
Seriously, guys, this has been a wild ride here. On Erie House for what, 7 years now? 7 years we've completed of Erie House oldie timey radio.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start year 8 next week. So,
wow. Where did the time go?
I don't know. It went fast when stuff was working.
So true.
Well, I guess maybe I should bring out the schnozola here and wrap it up, eh?
Time to bring out
all
the
right.
schnoz.
Happy New Year, guys. See you
Happy
next time.
New Year. Happy New Year, Gar. Happy New Year, Dave. And everybody
Happy
else
year,
listening
go.
Here in the archive.
Night. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
stinger. It's a good one.
What more is this safe but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, bow up, we the same, and
Inka-tinka-doo.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
I can get away with this.
Happy Christmas to your listeners, wherever you crenzoo. We belong to everybody, don't you think you knew? Oh, we tested the Jack McGregor upon his bunny hoe. Hack your bunny Christmas with a pound of Irish stew.
Thank you, John.
Down in the kitchen with the old black door, we got some, we got some. Down in the kitchen with the old black door, we got some, we got some.
Old acquaintance be forgot and never brought you lame. Old acquaintance be forgot all the same. Auld Lang Syne, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne. For the sake of Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for the sake of Auld Lang Syne. One and one and two and three.
She's a acquaintance be forgot and never brought the hand, China, down in Vietnam, and China, and look at all those bodies, Jordan, floating in the river.